Okay, so I'm going to make a summary of what really highlights, it's very hard to summarize 110 talks, of the Collider Physics Program as well as LoopFest. Now, we all know that there's very exciting times approaching with this tremendous burst of theoretical activity that we've witnessed. And that's, of course, due to the approach of the LHC and also being helped along with the ongoing program at the Tevatron and planning for the Linear Collider. So here are the workshop topics. So in designing this workshop, what we wanted is for it to be as broad as possible. But on the other hand, we wanted it to be focused on the core issues of collider physics. And one of the core issue we were thinking about was developing tools for helping to develop tools for understanding the data, for analyzing the data. So the topics that we went through started with the parton distribution functions. During the first week, we had all the various groups from the parton distributions. Very amusingly, they came up with a Santa Barbara Accord. This just has to do with the errors in the PDFs. Monte Carlo's resummation, higher order QCD, Higgs boson, electroweak, beyond the standard model, and even connections to string theory. This is being summarized on a web page being constructed by Joey Houston, as well as the conclusions of what we learned here. So here's the outline of my talk. So overall, we had two conferences, weekly talks, and I counted there are about 110 talks. So I figured if I'd stand up here and list the talks and the people who gave them, that's all I would be doing for the entire time, because I'd have 16 seconds per talk. So that would not make a very interesting talk. So of course, what I'll do is just leave out many important topics. So I apologize for leaving out so many topics. But here are some highlights for the program. Mainly, I'm going to talk about loops. After all, this is a loop fest. So I'll start off with the next leading order, comments about Monte Carlo's, especially merging with next to leading order, a little bit about electroweak, resummations, next to next to leading order, the parton distribution functions. I'll talk mostly about the recent calculation of the non-Siglet splitting function at the next to next to leading order. Even though no one actually spoke about it here, because that work is only 2 weeks old, but we're lucky enough to have Sven Mack come to the for the first. He was here during the first month, where he described the calculation. And then I'll just say a little bit about QCD, scattering amplitudes, and topological string theory. So that's at the far end. First, let me start with the experimenter's wish list. This wish list came from Bruce Knudsen, and it was shown to us by John Campbell at the opening workshop, at the opening conference. And if you look this over, it's a really an impressive or depressing list if you're one of the guys trying to do these calculations, because this is lifetime employment for not just one person, but an army of people. Unless you have some new ideas. Certainly you need new tools if you're really going to try to make a serious dent into this list. Any one of these processes and much fewer legs, it's several man years of work to do just one of these. So clearly we need some new tools. And besides that, what we need to do is talk about merging them into the Monte Carlos, because our experimental colleagues, of course, don't like these fixed order calculations. They want it merged with the shower Monte Carlos. So what's the state of the art? Well, as we all know, Schwinger was working with three legs at one loop, for example, G minus 2. And after so many years, we're up to five legs. Okay, it's not because we've been lazy, but of course these become extremely difficult very rapidly. So, for example, this would be a typical example of a state-of-the-art calculation. So it's W plus 2 jet production. We also heard there were a number of talks about Higgs production in the presence of heavy quarks. Maybe the first example is this systematic step to try to satisfy the wish list, which is this program MCFM. One thing you would like, at least for an experimenter would like, is to have everything collected in one place, because if you have several man years devoted to producing one program for one process, and enough people do it, pretty soon you have 20, 30 programs floating around, and it becomes very confusing. And the classic plot, well, this is just an example of the classic plot that comes from MCFM, and this has to do with the difficulty of finding the Higgs boson at the Tevatron. The best channel is finding the Higgs in association with a W boson, and here's the wonderful peak. This has really to do with the detector, the detector smearing the thing out, and here's the background. This difference, the opening between these two black lines, is the signal's on top, and this is the lower one is the background. And what you learn from this immediately is, if you're going to be even dreaming about trying to find the Higgs, which, well, perhaps it's not such a good dream anymore, you really would have to understand the background. And that is an example of why you really need to do these next leading order calculations. There's a more recent example which demonstrates the power of next to leading order compared to leading order. Well, let's imagine in a few years the Higgs boson will be discovered. And then you'd like to measure its properties. Is it truly the Higgs boson we know and love, or is it something a little bit different? So, for example, you'd like to measure how it couples to the W boson. So you would you'd be interested in Higgs plus two jets from weak boson fusion. This is the rapidity distribution. And the signal is the red curve. And that's calculated at next to leading order. And the size of that band has to do with the variation in the scale dependence. So it's some kind of an idea of how well you're doing. And the background is gluon fusion into Higgs plus two jets, and that's done at leading order. And you could see that calculation is not really under very good control. Now, of course, it'll be a great time when a Higgs plus two jets will be background. We'll all be dancing in the streets when that happens. But of course, it will happen one day. Let me just comment on the conclusion that this is from Berger and Campbell using the MCFM program. Their conclusion was that the previous estimates of the uncertainties were a bit too optimistic. And you can see there's this problem with the background. But in fact, by working harder, meaning going to next to leading order, in fact, you can certainly improve that situation, at least this problem right here. Another very good example that shows the power of the next to leading order is this well-known fact that K factors are not constant. They're always used as constants, right? A K factor is supposed to be some kind of constant. But, for example, this from, I took this from these people, Dawson et al. Laura Reina gave a nice talk precisely on this. And what this shows you, although there's a minus sign missing up here, and so this is supposed to be the K factor minus one, and then given in percent, it shows you that as a function of PT, this is the PT of the Higgs, the K factor is not a constant. So if you're interested in understanding the shape of distributions, certainly you need to go to these next leading order calculations. The final example, this is next to leading order three jet production. The reason why I'm showing this is actually quite a complicated process from the theoretical point of view because of the non-trivial infrared structure. So this is the PT of the leading jet, and very nice piece of work from Zoltan Nagy. And his program is actually quite nice because it's extremely efficient. It's a very fast program. So it goes to show that you can go on. If there was a problem here with the speed of this program, then we'd really be worrying. So let's talk about going beyond 5 points. So the state of the art is 5 points. There's a couple examples that go beyond 5 points, but they're special case. One is this n equals 4 supersymmetric Yang-Mills, which the string theorists are interested in. And also we heard from, in the talk of Thomas Binot, the Yukawa model. There's also some very special cases, even in QCD, with arbitrary numbers of legs at one loop. But it's for those special helicity configurations, the maximal helicity violating configurations. But as we heard in a number of talks, actually there were 3 talks in this conference discussing going beyond that. We heard this talk from Thomas Binot, more about analytical approaches. There was purely numerical approach from Zoltan Nagy, and then this hybrid approach of analytical and numerical that Walter Giel explained. So I think this is the right thing. You want to think about new types of approaches if you're ever going to make a real dent into that wish list and really push onwards. So let me now say a few words about Electro Week. So we had a very beautiful discussion by Holick, not at this conference, but several weeks ago. And I've summarized here what the comments that he made. So of course, we all know about the great success of the Precision Electro Week. We had some very nice talks, Claire and Serlin. There was also a nice talk about this sine square theta effective. And then the key reasons for going onwards, to go onwards to, for example, these next to leading order electroweak calculations. One obvious thing is if you're going to be talking about next to leading order QCD, clearly you should be thinking also about next to leading order electroweak simply because of the they're approximately of the same size. There are also these Sudakov logs. These can become important as you move up in energy. We heard this comprehensive summary from Wittmeyer on the linear collider physics, and especially at Giga Z, the importance for pushing onwards with precision electro weak. And I just listed a number of processes here that one should think about. So this I took from Kuhn's talk. This is just one example of the Sudakov logs. So this is in the 4 fermion processes. So this is the complete two-loop form factor. It's a model. It's not the standard model, but okay, massive abelian theory, just to give you an idea of the size of the corrections. And from this plot, what you learn is that you have to actually go to quite high order in the logarithms, next cube leading order, until you're close to the, well, here you're very close to the complete answer. If you're wondering about how large this effect is, if you're talking about a 4 fermion process, there's another factor of 4 you have to include, so you actually get a few percent effect. Okay, a very important development has been this Monte Carlo at next to leading order. So we know about the good properties of Monte Carlos. The soft and collinear emission is taken into account. Hadronization is explicitly taken into account. You get events in the output. And then, of course, this is what the experimenters want. This is the key tool for the experimenters. We also know the good properties of the fixed order. You get the hard emissions right. You get the total rates right. You have a systematic approximation. And of course, this is the key tool used by us theorists. Now, you may notice there's no overlap. And in fact, I must say I was very amused by the debate between Monte Carlo people and fixed order people arguing which is the better way to do it. Of course, the right answer is both ways. You want one program that has the best of both. In fact, combines these. So you have all of the advantages here together with the advantages here. There's various theoretical issues you have to worry about in doing this, but there's now an implementation of this, very important pioneering implementation is Monte Carlo at next to leading order that was developed by Frixioni and Weber, and it's been applied so far to these processes. There are also a number of other important developments. Well, we heard also about other approaches to this problem. Dave Soper gave a very nice talk discussing exactly Monte Carlo at next to leading order in his approach. In fact, here I have a plot. This is from Monte Carlo at next to leading order, really a very beautiful plot that explains exactly what the advantages are in a very clear way. So this is the TT bar, the PT of the TT bar. So it's small PT. So when you're soft, you expect Herwig to be correct. And you expect next to leading order, the fixed order, not to be very good. On the other hand, if you're at high PT, you expect that the next to leading order is in fact the better approximation, and that Herwig should fall apart out here. And if you use Monte Carlo at next to leading order, which combines these two, you expect to have the best of both worlds. And in fact, you can explicitly see how at high PT, it matches on to the next to leading order. And this is by construction. You know, this is not an accident of some kind. It's by construction. It has to match on here. And then for the soft, it also matches exactly to Herwig. So like I said, you get the best of both worlds. And from Dave's talk, this is the three-jet fraction. This is for LEP and SLC. And we can see that it won't be too long before Frixioni and Weber have some competition. Okay. Another topic that was a very important topic that was discussed is the resummation. So there's two main kinds of global logarithms, these threshold logs, these recoil logs, and there's quite a bit of recent progress. One in particular is really neat is this calculation from Cattani, De Florian, Grazzini, and Ossone, which is done at, this is for Higgs production, which is done at order next to leading order. So that's from Harlander and Kilgore and Anastasiou, Melnikov and where'd he go? Excuse me? Right. There's three. I mean, I'll get to that in a minute. There's three groups. And they added next to leading log to that. And this is the highest order that anybody has ever gone. So it's really remarkable. When George Sturman was here, he discussed this joint resummation where you do both of these at once, which is quite nice. And then we had a very nice talk from Zondereggi on this, the automated resummation. It was a very nice piece of work. And then there was a talk on the resummation for the heavy flavors. Just one example, which is very nice, is the Higgs PT distribution. I got this plot. This is from Joey Houston from this paper. In this paper, you'll see about a dozen of these lines, you know, one on top of the other. But in this version of the plot, there's only three of them. All the other ones, all these other groups, they basically have the same curves, which is actually quite nice because it means that everybody agrees on the Higgs PT distribution, even though the methods are completely different. So this is, the red one here is Monte Carlo at next to leading order. The black is resummation by Cattani. And then we have Herwig. Now, everything agrees up to high PT, where you see Herwig basically falls off the cliff, which is not surprising because it's not supposed to be good out here. So let me move on to next to leading order. So So I copied this from the discussion by Keith Ellis and Nigel Glover, and just to amuse Keith, I left the British, which maybe I should say Scottish spelling on here. And these arguments, we've seen these arguments before, okay, you reduce the renormalization scale dependence, the events have more partons in the finite, in the final state, so clearly they're closer to the real world, and so on and so forth. So you can look over these arguments. And certainly when I look over these arguments, I start wondering, are these arguments really good enough? And you can take each point and you can argue one way or the other, but it really just boils down to this at the end. Why is there so much theoretical effort going into these next to next to leading order calculations when there's large numbers of problems that you have to solve in other areas? For example, I just spoke about the next to leading order problems, the Monte Carlos, for example, merging with next to leading order. It's not a fully solved problem, even though there's been so much progress on it. There's various other, you can pick whichever one you want. But in trying to decide about where the importance or what you learn from this, you have to realize that the next to leading order, it's a theoretical tool that allows us to understand quantum field theory at some kind of a deeper level. You're probing the theory using this as a tool. So these arguments, the standard arguments, are actually just a lower bound in the sense it's what you really know about. And then you can decide how good it is. But there's also arguments which are a little less clear. But we can already see hints of how this is going to help more generally. So the first thing is the technical developments of next to leading order, it's surely going to feed into other areas. Well, first of all, we already heard a talk from David Kossauer where he used improved understanding of the infrared structure, which came from studying the next to leading order, to try to improve the parton showering. Another very nice example is that there's a surprise in the small x behavior of the structure functions, which came from this next to leading order calculation of Mach, Vermaseren, and Voigt. And then the third one that we saw actually here at LoopFest was this idea of reducing the uncertainties in the PDFs using Drell-Yan. I mean, normally the argument goes, well, if the uncertainties are so large in the PDFs, why are you doing next to leading order? But of course, you should turn it around and say, if we have very good theoretical control, then let's think about how to reduce the uncertainties in the PDFs. And something very important, which I think can't be overemphasized, is the idea of honest control over the uncertainties from higher order. Okay. So, this is clearly something very important. There's also something else about it's a potent theoretical tool. There's one example which is very peculiar, it's very unexpected, which is this, there's a very remarkable structure that of the two-loop N equals 4 super Yang-Mills amplitudes, which helps stimulate some of the interest in the scattering amplitudes that you see in the string community. And it's pretty clear that there's going to be many more developments, unexpected developments that come from this. And this is being driven by this two-loop revolution, where we can now do calculations which a few years ago seemed impossible or hopeless. And there's lots of new calculations, lots of scattering amplitudes that have been calculated. Just one example here of the power of the next to leading order. So this is the calculation that I referred to earlier, Harlander and Kilgore, Anastasio Melnikov, and then the group of Ravadin, Smith, and Van Irvin. And what you learn from this is about the control that you have over the perturbation theory. So if you're doing a leading order calculation, you go to the next leading order calculation, there's a huge shift. So it's a factor of two, and you're not sure if you have any kind of control over the perturbation theory. You can talk about varying the scale, but it's clear that you don't have control. But when you do the next to next leading order calculation, in fact, you discover that you do have control. And in fact, you can also improve this with these resummation, improve it a little bit with the resummations. And there was a very nice example also in understanding the B-quark parton distribution functions, cleaning up some confusion by using the next to next leading order calculations. My favorite calculation is this one, the Drell-Yan rapidity distribution. It's really remarkable because as you look at the scale dependence of the leading order, well, it's not very good. The next to leading order, it's better. And the next to next to leading order, there's no scale dependence whatsoever. You can't see it. And here, again, you see the differences between leading order next to next to between leading order next to leading order and next to next to leading order. And this clearly strengthens the proposal of using the W and Z production to determine the parton luminosities and also to constrain the parton distribution functions, as we heard in that very nice talk of Petriello. So to have fully differential next to next to leading order, there's still some problems that have to be dealt with, having mainly to do with the real radiation. But there were a lot of discussions here about that. There's no final solution, but in fact, it's well underway. We heard about the subtraction approaches, the sector decomposition approach for dealing with this, and it's already been applied to this case of E plus E minus the two jets. And the case of E plus E minus the three jets is clearly on the horizon, and that'll mean that someone is going to need to reanalyze the LEP and SLC data. So something very important, it's really wonderful that this happened just a few weeks ago. Next to leading order non-Siglet splitting functions. So there's been quite a bit of work on approximate next to next to leading order, but now there's a complete calculation for the non-Siglet. There's quite a few surprises. You can see the first point they make is the leading log X approximation is found not to be a good approximation. This one is really very surprising. You see there's a new color structure that has the leading log. That, I think, is rather surprising. The singlet should be finished soon, they promise it. And now the precision evolution, except at very small x, will be possible. And then the final topic that I just want to say just a little bit about is this topological string theory and QCD scattering. So in fact, we were very delighted that Ed Witten came here, and also that there were a number of other string theorists, the local, these are our local string theory postdocs who participated. And the topic of discussion during Ed's visit was multiparticle scattering amplitudes in QCD. So if you want to discuss scattering amplitudes, of course, the Collider Physics Workshop is the ideal place to come. Now, actually, the interest from the string theory point of view is really N equals 4 super Yang Mills. This is the theory that has to do with the Maldacena conjecture. But the distinction is really not important for tree level, which is the first place to start thinking about amplitudes. So in Ed Witten's paper, there's this very remarkable relationship. You start with tree level QCD scattering amplitudes, and I really mean QCD. You perform a Fourier transform. After writing the amplitudes in terms of spinner helicity, you perform this Fourier transform with respect to one of the spinners, the plus helicity spinner. So that's not a very complicated thing. But then Witten observed that in this twister space, the external points lie on certain curves. The twister space, there's actually a very weighty mathematics behind it. And then Ed related the twister space amplitudes through a certain topological string theory. And this is an example of one of these non-trivial dualities. You have scattering amplitudes described in terms of the Yang-Mills Lagrangian on this side, and here you have a completely different description. And they give the same expressions. You can calculate from here, you can calculate from here, and you get the same expression. This is, there's been a few papers from these people showing exactly that when you do the honest calculation in the string theory, in fact, it does reproduce the QCD amplitudes. And there's something that's a very amusing, surprising implication that's come out of this. So in the twister space, the amplitudes have a non-trivial or a trivial factorization. It's non-trivial to observe this back here, but in the twister space, there's an intuition that says that there has to be a very trivial type of factorization. And based on that, you can write down these things that Ed Witten and Cacciazzo, Svercek, and Witten call the MHV vertex. It's the Park-Taylor amplitude. You'll recognize this. This is written in terms of the spinner inner products that are used for the Park-Taylor amplitudes. This is a picture of a Park-Taylor amplitude, two negative helicities. I've got one leg off-shell there. There's an off-shell continuation. Very simple off-shell continuation. It doesn't seem particularly profound. With this off-shell continuation, you can now start building new amplitudes. In fact, I've written down here the pictures that one line later, you can just write down in term a formula for n legs and three minus helicities and the rest plus helicities. Now, it'll certainly be very interesting to see what other kinds of structures are uncovered by our string theory friends, by twister space, especially for loop level. So the summary is that we can expect many, many exciting years ahead due to the experimental discoveries that we anticipate at the colliders. This is, of course, driving many advances in phenomenology and related theoretical tools. And I just want to add the importance of supporting the young people that are pushing things forward so quickly. And then finally, the last thing is we should do it again in 2007. And I want to thank David Gross, Dan Hone, Deborah Storm, Sue Alamdar, and the rest of the really wonderful staff at the KITP. They're really very efficient. Everything was really wonderful. And then, of course, the LoopFest organizers for putting all this together, and then my co-organizers. Well, Joey Houston, I know you're listening out there somewhere. And same with Zoltan, thank you. And okay, Kirill, where did you go? I can thank you in person.
First of all, are there any questions about the scientific? Okay, so I'd like to make a couple more remarks, if I could. First of all, I reiterate Svi's remarks here that we should thank David Gross, the staff here, Sue Alamdar, Monica Curry, Deborah Storm, all these people who make these functions very easy to run, and I guess they're not here, but let's clap for them. So, secondly, I'd like to again thank, there are four organizers of the LoopFest, but actually there are three of them who did work, and so Doreen and Sally and Uli, I think, really deserve our thanks for putting together a very beautiful conference. Before we do the last bit of thanks, I'd just like to emphasize the point which is in the second red box here. David Gross, at the beginning of this conference, practically invited us to come back again for what would either be a pre-LHC or a first LHC data era ITP workshop. And this is a great idea. You folks ought to know that different communities come to the ITP, and when there's a successful workshop, then they are always invited back a few years later. So for example, the high TC superconductivity people have been coming more or less every 3 years since the discovery of high TC superconductivity. So I think such a proposal would probably be viewed very favorably by the ITP board. The schedule of it is that if you would like to have it pre-LHC in the spring of 2007, it would be due to the board in February of 2005, which is to say quite soon. Personally, I don't want to run this workshop, but I'm happy to give advice to people who are writing proposals. And if people would like to get together and begin the process, please send me email. It would be good to have some document by the end of 2004 so that it would be ready to go to these people in February of 2005. And once again, that's what the schedule would be for a workshop that would be held in the spring of 2007. So with that, and with the recognition that to put together this workshop, to write the proposal, to design a conference, which not only the conference, but the whole program, which covers many of the really important and somewhat neglected topics in high energy theory, which will have tremendous influence into the future, is a great achievement. And for Kirill and for Zoltan and Svi and the absent Joe Houston, I think we really owe them a great debt of appreciation. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you're dismissed.
And safe journey.